Thank you. That song comes on the radio sometimes, and I'm just in my car. I just go crazy when I just love that song. That's a worship song there.
That is.
You're telling it the way it is right there. Oh boy, it's been a beautiful weekend, hasn't it? Did you all get out this weekend? Get you some exercise and walking in and working on that booty do? So, I ran 10 miles yesterday, and I tell you, it was just a beautiful morning. I just love the fall. Don't you love the fall this time of year? And that coolness in the air. Anybody been to the outreaches at the school, the YWAM, the stuff Mike's been promoting, and that's some good stuff, isn't it? I was there Thursday night, and I tell you, I was really blessed by it. You liked my dancing? I had going on up there. I tell you what, I was, they had all the pastors get up there, John. They had all the pastors get up there, and they started teaching us this Hawaiian thing, you know. I thought, you know, I'm not going to get up there and be some old stick in the mud, you know. So I got up there and added a little bit to it, you know what I mean? You don't believe that, do you? But you know what? It was awesome. I mean, it really was. I mean, the way they presented that and the response. But I'm going to tell you something. The people would not have responded to that message had there not been people praying. The way they responded was the result of people praying. Praying for those people to come forward and to receive Christ. That was the result of prayer. And that's what we're talking about, is prayer and the importance of praying. And nothing happens if we don't pray. Prayer moves heaven on earth. And that's what we have to grow in our understanding. There's all kinds of people coming to church and they want to hear a message, but they're not praying. See, if we're praying, folks, we're really beginning to move heaven on earth now. And that's really how you advance God's kingdom. You bring heaven to earth when you pray. And without praying, just going and hearing a message, you're not going to, the promises of God aren't going to come to fruition in your life. You're going to miss out a great deal just going to hear a message and get inspired, you know. Sure, we need to be inspired. But folks, we have to be doing our time in prayer and asking God. And folks, you'll begin to see things change in your life. And this is how people come to Christ. This is how God isn't going to save anybody if somebody's not praying for them. Just like those children in the orphanage, those orphanages I went to India. You know, there's all kinds of sex trafficking, child pornography that goes on in India. I mean, it is really big in that area where we were just at. And as a result of people praying, those children are protected there from that type of abuse. And so that's what we're going to continue to pray for them, and we're going to grow in this area of prayer. Because we want our children protected. We want our families protected. We want the church protected. And when we pray, folks, it moves heaven. And that's what we got to understand. We got to grow in that understanding. We got some pictures. Pastor Moses was the pastor over in India. I got some pictures from what's going on over there right now. And the Hindus are going in, and they went in and did this women's group, and they raped these women and murdered them and burned them. And I got pictures of it, pictures of the after effects. Peggy and I saw these pictures, and they really were graphic. I couldn't begin to show them up here. You all would, it was a mess. But the Hindus are now getting violent. And they've always been pretty docile and pretty peaceful, but they're even getting violent towards Christians now. Folks, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. We're in another day. We're going to have to really learn this idea of prayer and grow in this area. Because if you see, it will remove judgmentalism, criticism, and complaining. It gets rid of that too. Because when you're praying, you see who you are. That's why people don't spend time in prayer, because they really begin to see their own ugliness. But when we begin to really pray, we become less judgmental and critical of others. And we begin to see that, hey, I need to be praying for this person instead of criticizing them and judging them and trying to find something on them. You see what I mean? And that's why prayer is so important, because it builds the body up. It strengthens the body. And it keeps heaven moving on earth. You know, that's the whole idea. That's what we want to do. We want to bring heaven to earth. We're the church. We're the ecclesia. The word church is ecclesia, and it's the government of God. We are the government of God, bringing and establishing the kingdom of God on earth. We're to be moving. We're a redemptive force moving and establishing his government here in Sydney. And that's what we want to be. And without prayer, it won't happen. It won't happen. And God has shown me that if this church will get this message and this idea of prayer, it's going to take this place to a whole nother level. And you talk about change. We're going to see some change. So I want you all to hang in there and keep receiving this word, because this is where God is moving, is in prayer right now. I'm here to tell you. Go with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Nothing like the Word of God. Without the Word of God, we wouldn't have any real direction, would we? When I was in Washington, D.C. last week, that's why I wasn't here Saturday, but that's why I didn't preach last weekend. But I was the last morning I was there, I thought I'd take a run, and you know where the Lincoln Memorial is and the Washington Monument and all that, and around the Capitol. And so I took off running, and I was enjoying all the scenery and everything, you know, and just really enjoying it, because it was real quiet because I got up early. And there wasn't anything moving. It was on a Saturday morning. And as I was running, as time, stuff started moving, you know, everybody started coming out and getting busy. And I just, I've been running for almost an hour. Well, I ran up around the Capitol building, and I thought, well, I'll just cut over here to the left and go this direction, and then I'll just go back to the street I came off of and go back to my motel. Well, when I cut over to the left, it threw me way off, and I ended up way out, lost. I mean, I was lost. I thought, where am I, you know? I was lost. That's a bad feeling. I mean, even, I don't care how old you are, if you're lost in a city, you know, that's not a good feeling. Well, so I go up to this guy. Well, I'll just ask this guy, you know. I kind of put it off. I thought, well, I go to this street. I thought, man, that's not the street I'm looking for. And I kept running. You know, I'm running. I'm getting tired now. And I thought, this guy, I've come up to this guy, and this guy, I said, you know, I was running. I wanted to see everything. I said, can you help me get back to Four Points Sheraton Hotel? And he goes, what'd you do? Go down there? And he goes, you run out. And he goes, you can't find your way back? And you start getting mad at me. I said, okay. So I just kept on going, you know. And you know, I thought, my goodness. You know, don't do that to anybody if they come up and ask you for direction. I thought, boy, that's a dang. And so, and then there was a young guy, and I stopped him. And he's, you know, real calm. He says, yeah, you just go up the street here, and you go left. And you go down. He goes, it'll be about 13 blocks. It's about a mile and a half. It's going to take you a while. He goes, but right there will be your mile. I said, I went down there, Right there it was. I thought, boy, how is that? You know, I got directions, and I got there. You know? That one guy, he was about to have a fit, though. Can you imagine that? Here's somebody, you know, really needs some help, and he getting mad. He just must have had a bad day. That's all right. Do what? Yeah, he got out the wrong side of the bed. Okay. All right, let's look at this. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God. Everybody say, draw near to God. And he will draw near to you. You don't have to say that, too. But that's okay. We're all right. Hey, it's all good. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Say that now. No. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for this place. We thank you for your presence. Father, teach us to pray, Lord. Increase our understanding and give us revelation on prayer. Father, we desperately need you in this hour, in this time that we live in, Lord. And we know that you have called each of us for such a time as this. So, Father, let none of us remain the same because we have been in your presence and received your word today. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Okay. Draw near to God, and he, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. What's the prerequisite in order for God to draw near to you? You have to draw near to him. Who makes the first move? We do, right? So it's important that we understand, this is prayer, that's what this is talking about. When we will draw near to God and pray and spend time with him, he comes in our situation and he shows up. Remember we talked about last time I was sharing 2 weeks ago on prayer and humility is that Joshua, remember he had just brought the Israelites over the River Jordan, and that's a picture of salvation. And he had just entered into the promised land. But now he was facing Jericho, his biggest enemy. And remember, the Bible says in Joshua 5 that he saw him standing there with a sword while he was facing Jericho. Remember, that was a pre-incarnate Christophany. That was a before Bethlehem appearance of Christ to Joshua. Jesus showed up in Joshua's dilemma. And what's that say to us? That we are never alone, and that God is going to be with us when we face our biggest enemy. But you know what? Joshua prayed. Joshua had a prayer life. Joshua was on the other side of the mountain when Moses was trying to lead the people through the wilderness. Joshua was a prayer warrior, but he was notorious for being a servant because he prayed. When you pray, you are going to serve God. When you have a prayer life, you're going to serve God. You're going to get in the body of Christ, and you're going to find out where is there a need, and you're going to serve. But if you don't pray, you're just looking for a message. You're looking for something for you. Joshua prayed. And he wouldn't have saw Christ at that time had he not had a prayer life. But he saw Christ there, standing there with a sword while he was facing his biggest enemy. And so that's the idea. Remember, there's a campaign going on in your thought life. There's a campaign going on in your thought life to keep you from progressing and possessing your promised land in this life. So we talked about thinking and your thoughts, how they keep you from your prayer life. So the way you think is where you're going to be attacked when you go to pray. So you have to be aware of that. That's the number one reason why people fall away from church is condemnation and guilt. When you understand that guilt and condemnation only come when you don't know who you are in Christ. When you don't pray, that's how guilt and condemnation come in. But if you pray and you have a prayer life and you're communing with God, you have a relationship with Him, you know that you're not guilty. And you know that you're not condemned. You see that? You know it. And so you're going to continue in the body of Christ. You're going to know that I need the body of Christ. For me to pull away from here is the worst thing I can do. Because life in Christ and in the body of Christ, the local church is where you're going to find every answer you're looking for. And the local church is the body of Christ. And if you get your prayer life working and you get the Word of God working and you're connected in the body of Christ, there's nothing that's going to stop you. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm here to tell you. But we need each other. We need the body of Christ. You can't just go off and go from one place to the next and just bounce around all the time. You need to get connected somewhere. That's why that's just the way it is. That's why Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you're out of His body, you can't do what He's called and created you to do. So this idea that Joshua prayed, he was able to see that Jesus was there with the Word to help him defeat his biggest enemy. And that's just it. Without prayer, you'll not defeat your biggest enemies. And you'll be serving. You'll be serving as well. And when you have a prayer life, you are going to be serving. You're going to find out, where can I assist in the body of Christ? Where am I needed? And without complaining. you get in there and you serve, but if you're in there serving and you're complaining, you might as well just, you know what I'm saying? Because complaining, remember, when you praise God, you get His presence. Right? Psalms 26:3. When you complain and murmur, whose presence do you get? The devil's. So that's why you don't want to come in here and complain all the time and murmur about having to. Folks, when you just come in here and serve, you watch. It brings life to you. It brings power to you. Is this making sense? I'm telling you, when you get your prayer life working and the Word of God working, boy, oh boy, look out. Things start to connect. I am here to tell you. I was running yesterday, and with my friend Tom, and his friend came from Wisconsin, and he's like a big corporation head, and over all these people, and he'll run with me because I run a little bit ahead of Tom because Tom's pace is a lot slower than mine, so I'm running, and he's running right beside me, and we're running, and I was telling him about what I was preaching today. Sometimes I work it out on Tom before I bring it to you. Some of it. And so I was talking about intercession and prayer. And so he was asking me about it, so I was explaining it to him. And he goes, that's something that you're talking about this. He goes, last week, he said, I had the worst day. He goes, I'm not kidding you, Fred. I had the worst day in my entire life. See, he just moved from Tip City to Wisconsin 6 months ago. And he's having a house built. And he took his family out there. He said, I had the worst day in my life. He goes, I felt like everything was out of control. He goes, I was just getting anxious. He goes, man, I didn't know what was happening to me. He goes, I thought about going out and getting drunk. I just felt just like doing things I never, he goes, I just felt out of control. And he said he woke up shaken and worried. 3 o'clock in the morning, stressed out. Pressure on his job, all this. He said he got down on his knees and he cried out to God. He said peace just flooded the room. Just flooded his heart in the room. He said he woke up, he went to work, Everything just appeared to be different. He goes, what you're saying is nothing but the truth. He goes, it just came off of me. He goes, it didn't, on all the problems were still there. But there was a peace and a presence I had that I didn't have. Folks, listen, God does not work independent of humans. He needs humans. He needs you to pray. And when you pray, he gets involved. But if you're not praying, he can't get involved. We're going to see this, all right? Are you with me? Adam's authority, Adam didn't fall from heaven. He fell from dominion. He fell from authority, all right? When Adam sinned, he fell out of authority. Adam's authority over the earth that he, okay, Adam's authority over the earth that he not just God had the ability to give it, he also had the ability to give it away. Adam had the ability to give his authority away. And when he sinned, he gave his authority to who? Satan, right? In Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, Satan is when Satan was tempting Jesus, he said, I will give you all this domain and its glory. For it has been given over to me. I'll give it to whomever I wish. Satan has authority here on this earth right now. Over the ones who don't know Christ and who don't know that they have authority. He has authority over them. And you have to legally. But you have to understand, if you're a believer, you have authority over him. And you have to understand that. There are so many people coming to church and going to church all over America that don't understand what we're talking about right now. They don't understand the authority that they have. They just want to go to church and look good and be a traditional. And you know, but folks, listen to me. We're the church. We are to be in. We are a redemptive force, moving on the behalf of other people to bring other people into the kingdom of God, and let them know that they can pray and they can get through things that other people aren't getting through. Are you with me? Have you seen the news lately, and how all this campaign going on, McCain and Obama? And all this, I mean, you know, this world is in a mess. Economically, it is like, boy, it's really on some shaky ground. But folks, listen to me. If you are operating into the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, the government, the U.S. government, is not going to affect you. You're under a whole nother government. And you have to know that. You are citizens of heaven. You're bringing his government here, and it will protect you and your family and the church. And that's what we have to understand. When we will begin to put the government of God and the principles that come from his government in place, folks, doors begin to open that no man can shut. That's the keys to the kingdom. He's given us the keys to the kingdom. That's principles. When we understand his principles, we can open doors that no man can shut of the kingdom of God in our life. And what we have to go to him to get it. He's not going to just let it fall on you. Now let's look at this. Think about this. In John 12:31 and John 14:30 and John 16:11, it shows and it speaks of where Satan has authority on earth, over the earth. Okay, over the world system. He is running it, all right? Now think about this. God chose from the time of creation to work through humans, not independent of them. Not independent of them. He needs you to pray. He needs you to communicate with him. If you don't, he'll find somebody else. You see that? He needs you to communicate with him. In Matthew 6:10, it says he needs us to ask for his kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why would Jesus teach us to pray this way? Why doesn't God just, boom, have it done? Why is the world in the shape it's in? Because he needs people praying. He needs you and I to be praying on the behalf of others. Am I making sense? And you're going to see something you haven't seen before. You are going to want to pray after today. Are you listening to me? Surely he wouldn't want us to waste our time asking for something that was going to happen anyway, would he? I mean, if it was going to happen anyway, why waste our time asking him? Now think about this. He tells us to ask for daily bread, right? Matthew 6:11. In other words, give us our daily bread, right? He knows we need it. Why didn't he just give it to us? He wants you to ask him for it, right? In Matthew 9:38, he tells us to ask that the laborers be sent into the harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. He knows we need laborers. He knows the heart. He knows. But he wants you to ask. No one comes to Christ without somebody praying. That's why it's so important to be praying for those people, you know, in this outreach, that people come to Christ. Because we're going to God on the behalf of other people. And they can come to Christ. They can be saved. But God is waiting for people to pray. Now think about this. In 2 Thessalonians verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 1, Paul prayed that the word of the Lord would spread rapidly, that he would be glorified. God wants his word to be spread and to be glorified. But Paul had to pray. You see that? Paul had to pray. And that's important to understand it. In 1 Kings 18, chapter 18, Elijah had to pray for rain. There was a drought after 3 years. 3 years, there was a drought. And Elijah prayed, and it rained. Why didn't God just send rain? Because nobody was praying. But Elijah prayed, and rain came. You see that? God is waiting on somebody to petition him and believe in him and what he's saying. And then he moves. But the idea is to believe it. You got to believe it. I'm silly enough to believe it. How about you? Everybody told me this church was under a curse. I'm telling you, in the city here, when I first came up here, that church will never make it after all it's been through. Well, look here. We had to have an extra service, didn't we? I'm silly enough to believe. I'm going to tell you what, when you begin to pray, things change. But without it, I'm just here to tell you, you're just going to be beating your head against the wall. Just getting a message and hearing something inspire you, that's not enough. You need to get a hold of the word and begin to apply it, and you need to begin to petition God and talk to him and have a prayer life. And when you do, you're going to see things change. Daniel prayed for restoration of Israel in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, and the Bible says that God heard his words. God heard his word so he could perform his word. He says, I'm ready to perform my word in Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm ready to perform my word. He's waiting and ready to perform his word. He needs somebody who will pray and cry out to him for his word. How many times do the promises of God not come to fruition in our life because we don't ask God about it? We just think, if God likes me and loves me, he's going to do it. No. We have to be praying. Am I making sense today? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Excuse me. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Now, this is something where there's A lot of people don't understand what I'm getting ready to deposit in your spirit. So this is something I really want you to get a hold of, because this is big. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. You see, we can't go to God without going through Jesus. You and I, nobody, that's why the name Jesus is so important. You see that? You can't just talk about God. If people just pray to God and they talk about God and they don't talk about him as Father and they don't bring the name of Jesus in there, it's not tapping in. When we pray to him as Father, it's personal. And when we say in Jesus' name, we're going through Jesus. You see that? We have to go to him through Jesus. Now look at this. The uttermost, those who come to God through him, through Jesus, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus lives, has lived forever, and has made intercession for us. But now people will say, Jesus is praying for us. Uh-uh. What? Uh-uh. He's not. You have to pray. Jesus is praying to the Father. You have to pray to the Father through Jesus, and Jesus takes your stuff to the Father. You can't just go to God. You have to go through Jesus. And people say, well, Jesus is our high priest, and he makes intercession for us. He's praying for me all the time. Uh-uh. When you go to him, he takes what you say and what you're praying to the Father. But if you're not going to him, you're not giving him anything to work with. Not just because you're a believer. That's why you got so many Christians that think such are so wrapped up in so many things wrong. You see what I mean? They don't understand what we're talking about here. You have to pray. Well, you know, you don't have to do anything, right? But if you want to fulfill the plan and purpose of God, prayer is going to have to be part of your life. If you want to be all that God created you to be, prayer is going to have to be a part of your life. Now think about this. So Jesus is our intercessor, right? Listen to me. The word intercede means to go or to pass between. The word intercede. To go or to pass between. Now listen to me. To act between parties with a view to reconcile. That's what intercede means. To act between parties with a view to reconcile those who differ or contend. To interpose, to mediate, or to make intercession. Jesus is our mediator. You see that? The Bible says for this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, for this is pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Then he says, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can take your prayers to God. No one else can. And Jesus is the only one who's made the intercession for you and can make the intercession for you. This is important, folks. You're going to catch more of this as we make this clear. Adam was supposed to represent God on earth, managing and governing and ruling the earth for him. Adam was. God told Adam what he wanted. Adam was to go between, was the go-between between God and man. Adam was. But Adam messed up, right? And when he disobeyed God, he lost authority. He was no longer the mediator, the intercessor, the go-between. Jesus, the last Adam, is now the go-between between God and man and humanity. Adam was God's intercessor or mediator on earth. Now, Go with me to John chapter 16 real quick. Aren't you all excited? I want to get you excited about praying. John chapter 16, verse 26. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. You see that? Jesus is not praying for us. You have to understand that. You have to pray. You have to pray. Come on. Did you get that? You have to do the praying. This is so important. Folks, come on. Do you see this? We can come both. That's doing, okay. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. He don't pray for us without us asking. We have to go to him. We come boldly to the throne of grace. Jesus is not praying for us. He is interceding. Now listen, he is interceding for us so we can pray. That is what is meant by asking in the name of Jesus. That's why we have to say the name of Jesus. We have to go in the name of Jesus. That's the authority that's been given to us through the name of Jesus. Because Adam originally had the authority to go between man and God. Now Jesus is the one who has the authority to go between man and God, humanity and God. Now think about this. Humanity needed two things after the fall. Now listen. They needed someone to go between themselves and God to reconcile themselves to God. See, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. But we don't do the reconciling. We do the praying, and God does the reconciling. You see that? If we'll do the praying. Now think about this. They also needed someone to go between themselves and Satan, to separate themselves from him. One was a uniting back to God, and one was a disuniting, a separating. Okay, now think about this. One reestablished headship or authority, Jesus, that's the authority. He's the head. We're the body. He's the head. And the other broke headship, the authority of Satan over us. That was the twofold purpose of the intercession. Now think about this. Jesus did both. As the intercessor and mediator, he went between God and humanity, reconciling us to the Father. He went between Satan and humanity, breaking Satan's hold. This was the redemptive work of intercession, and it is complete. Intercession is complete. Our prayers of intercession are always and only an extension of his work of intercession. Our prayers are only an extension of his work, what he's already done through intercession. Why is that so important? Because God won't honor an intercession or anyone except Jesus. Except Jesus. We don't deliver anyone. We don't reconcile anyone to God. We don't defeat the enemy. The work is already done. Reconciliation is complete. Deliverance and victory is complete. Salvation is complete. Intercession is complete. It is finished. Did you get a hold of that? It's already done. All we got to do is go to him and bring it here to earth. You see that? You and I are the ones to go to him, and we're the church. We're the government of God. We're the ecclesia. We are to bring, that's why Paul said, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace has been given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The fellowship, you know what that is? That means to meet. You know what the word intercession means? In the Hebrew, it means to meet. To meet God. What is the fellowship? What is the fellowship? You see that? To me, who am less than least of all the saints, this grace has been given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, to the intent that now the manifold wisdoms of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus. And then he says, and then I bowed my knee. You see, it takes prayer to get the forces of heaven on earth to defeat the forces of the enemy. Am I making sense? And that's the church. We are the church. We need to let the enemy know who's in charge here. Are you with me? You need to let the enemy know who's in charge over your family, who's in charge over your children. Come on now. Who's in charge over your finances? You need to let him know. But not just laying down and thinking it's going to get better. No, you need to say it. You need to ask God about to get involved. Am I making sense? You need to exercise the authority that has been given to you. But when we don't do it and we just think, well, it's going to happen. Well, no, I'll just go to church. And just going to church isn't going to do it. You have to begin to get involved in this. Am I making sense? I'm here to tell you. This is good news. I'm just here to tell you. Folks, this is intercession. We're to be intercessors on behalf of other people. Other people are in turmoil and chaos and confusion because of our lack of prayer. What do you think about that? I'm not saying you need to pray 4 hours a day. I'm just saying we need to get involved, don't we? This is not a spectator sport, is it? All right. Christ needs a human on earth to represent himself, just as the Father did. Now think about this. The Father's human was Jesus. Jesus' human, we it. We're it. We're the ones. The church, he said, as the Father sent me, I also send you. John 20, verse 21. The concept of being sent is noteworthy. Listen to this. A representative is a sent one. That's an ambassador, is a sent one. Sent ones have authority as long as they represent the sender. As long as they are representing the sender and they show up in another nation, they have authority. Now think about this. An ambassador representing one nation to another is a sent one. He has no authority of his own, but he is authorized to represent the authority of the nation that sent him. He is authorized. We have been authorized by heaven to bring the authority here on earth. Am I making sense? And that's what we don't understand. We don't understand it, or we would be walking in it. We need to get excited about what we have and begin to exercise it. Now look at this. Jesus was a sent one. That is why he had authority. He received it from the Father who sent him. My prayers of intercession release Christ's finished work of intercession. Our prayers of intercession release Christ's work of intercession. You see that? On the cross, mercy met judgment. Righteousness met sin. Light met darkness. Humility met pride. Love met hate. Life met death. Only God could shed blood to create life. He used pain to bring healing, allowed injustice to satisfy justice, and accepted rejection to restore acceptance on the cross. That was intercession. The cross. That was the intercession. And what did he say? He said in John 19:30, "It is finished." Tetelestai. That's the word. Tetelestai. Now listen, to fully, this is what the word tetelestai means. It means to fully accomplish something and bring it to its completed state. To fully accomplish something and bring it to its completed state. Now listen, when there was a sales transaction by merchants and the way they did business in those days, every invoice, they used to stamp it like you guys do in the warehouse, you do the warehousing, you stamp invoices. They'd stamp on the invoice, and you know what the word was? Tetelestai. Debt is paid in full. Debt is paid in full. That's what it means. Debt is paid. The sin debt was paid in full. Everything was done on the cross. The intercession was complete. Now think about this. You and I have been created for good works, which God prearranged beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. Now think about this. In John 3:8, it says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Our good works are the works that destroy the works of the devil. When we understand what we are here for, then we begin to work out that, and we walk in that, we are now destroying the works of the devil. Now think about this. Think about this. The word destroy, this is what it means in that verse. It's the Greek word luo, L-U-O. And this is what, it has two meanings. It has a legal meaning and a physical meaning. Now think about this. The legal meaning of that word destroy, of the Greek word luo, is this: to pronounce or determine that something or someone is no longer bound. Oh, did you get that? Now you all, you just need to wake up. We've only got a couple minutes left. Come on, did you get that? To pronounce or determine that something or someone is no longer bound. That's what happens when we're doing the work that we're creating. We are pronouncing that they're no longer bound by the things that have, the strongholds. We can break them off other people's lives. Am I making sense? Through prayer. Come on. To dissolve or void a contract, this is the physical word for luo. You got to break this thing down. To dissolve or void a contract or anything that legally binds. That legally binds. We have that kind of authority to destroy the works of the devil. We have that. Jesus came to dissolve the legal hold Satan had over us and pronounce that we were no longer bound by his works. He voided the contract breaking his dominion over us. He voided it. You know what? When we pray and we are in the work and we're doing what we've been created to do, we're doing that over other people. Man, are you getting this? I said, are you getting this? God needs you and I to be praying. He needs it. Nothing's going to happen. He's not going to just do it because you're you. You're cute, or you're what you look like, or you're what you've done. No. He needs you to pray. And he needs me to pray. I'll tell you what, this is big. Where's my music man? We got to close, so don't rush out. I know we're all right. Don't rush out on me.